Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about breaking through to someone who just won't listen, who just won't hear what you're trying to say. Maybe you feel they may have dyslexia or ADHD, for example, and they're just not in a headspace to absorb that. And every time you say it, they kind of close down more and more and just pull away. I wanted to talk about this because it's a common problem I'm seeing a lot. I'm hearing these challenges, and I just wanted to give my perspective on it because, you know, it's a huge thing. So let's dive into today's episode. Okay, so this is a real common challenge, is if you pick up that someone you know has potentially got dyslexia or ADHD or autism even. I find that a bit harder to pick up sometimes. But you know, let's just say in your gut, you know they're very likely to be neurodiverse. Maybe this is because you've found something out on your journey or someone said something and it's just resonated. You know, I get quite a mixture of people listening to this podcast, and a lot of people are partners of adults with suspected dyslexia or ADHD. It can be challenging to get fully diagnosed with dyslexia. It is a bit more challenging, in my opinion, than ADHD and autism. It's probably why we're seeing more late diagnoses going that way. Is that the right word? Diagnoses going that way. It's a much easier testing regime, although it's not always easy to get access to someone to test you. I do get that. But we're seeing a lot of people do the online tests. You know, they're doing research, listening to podcasts like this and beyond, and trying to find out more about this world, this thing that they think they may have but have never been told about. We're also seeing, like, also when I say we, the grand we, I'm also seeing a lot of people, you know, kind of getting past a lot of the obvious dyslexic stuff after school. You know, dyslexics are naturally very smart people, and our brains are designed to solve problems. Like, that's what they're built for. They see a problem and they try and work out what's a solution, gluing together all the experience they have, sometimes doing research if they're interested, but their brains are always trying to solve problems. So many adults have put in solutions through their life to fix some of these dyslexic challenges. And where the problem comes in is if they've got enough of these old solutions built up to kind of get around grammar issues or email issues, or they've got AI tools now or Grammarly or all these other things that kind of make them, you know, people go, oh, I don't think you've got dyslexia. You know, your emails are pretty good. You know, they can't see it as clearly, so they're not getting that feedback, you know, along with the awareness just being poor across the world in adults, right? But usually as a partner or a close friend or someone who's been diagnosed yourself, you become hyper aware of what could be super obvious to this friend, this business partner, this relationship. But trying to get through to them that this could be a challenge to them is super hard. You know, I've shared in the past myself is that I got diagnosed with dyslexia at the age of 10. I went through school. I went through, you know, challenges. My mother advocated for me massively. At that age, I don't think I really even understood much about it. I just knew I wasn't great with reading and writing. That was about my knowledge level. And as I left school, I kind of ignored dyslexia for 10 years, really, from 21 to 31, just really ignored it. And it took my father raising it again at that age and bothering me about it. He literally had to remind me five or so times, you know, that maybe you should look into this. Maybe this is what you've been searching for in your journey. And every time I'd say, no, I don't think it is, you know, not with any real knowledge, I'd continue to say no, no, no. Until finally, I think we were sitting at a pub having a beer, talking about it. He goes, I've actually found someone who specializes in your area, which is about a 10-minute walk if I wanted to walk to find this person. Maybe just go and have a chat. You know, you know, maybe they'll say nothing's wrong with you, or you don't, there's nothing to do with you. Or they might say, hey, here is the, let's unlock the door here and show you what you've been missing. And I remember getting in touch with Vanessa at the time and actually trying to speak to her. And it literally took her messaging me via text message or call five times to get me to actually go in for a 2-hour session with her. That's how much it took. And I won't go down the story, the full story. There are other podcasts on that. But the point being, to get through to my head that dyslexia was even potentially one of the challenges I was suffering with, or one of the pieces of the puzzle that I just ignored for so many years, you know, it took a lot of work. It took a lot of love. It took someone kind of, boring me, if I'm honest, by repeating the same thing again and again and again. But because they did that, at some point, at some timing, it got me to the next step. And I was very lucky that Vanessa chased me, because if she hadn't, I would not have progressed that relationship. This podcast wouldn't exist. Nothing. So I'm very grateful to these people in my life who pushed me down this alleyway in a kind and caring way. Does that make sense? So whoever you're coming up against, there's a few things that I've learned over the years, because as my knowledge has grown over the last 5, 6, 7 years, my, real understanding of how to approach people has improved. When I first realized what dyslexia was, dug deeper, understood the thought processes, the patterns, how we operated, and the greater neurodiverse group, it becomes very easy to pick people that, you think fit the model. And if I'm honest, from an intuition point of view, you're right 80 to 90% of the time. But being right is not always the thing you need to be in some of these situations. I was chatting with someone recently, and, no one likes someone who's perfect all the time, right? Or right all the time. We connect with people who are going through struggles and pain and talking about their real selves, right? If you go up to someone and say, oh, you've got dyslexia, or even I lighten it a bit and say, I think you have dyslexia, they look at you and go, well, go away. It's like, I do not care about your thoughts. Unless it's someone remarkably close to you. And even then, if you say it so directly, it just doesn't work. It just does not work at all. I always go back to the point when I was chatting with someone around dyslexia about ADHD, when I finally got diagnosed at 34, and I was in the meeting with this person. He was talking all about ADHD. I was probably not listening to any of it. I completely in my brain thought, no, you don't have ADHD. You don't have it. It doesn't exist for you. And it took him saying one thing, which is, he found out by realizing he tapped his leg a lot to speed things up when meetings were going slowly. And that was the one thing that got me thinking. That one little weird snippet of information got my brain activated. It got me, really thinking about how everything works. And I realized I was tapping away, and I went, And that one little seed started that journey. And so, the things you think are going to get through to someone, the directness, saying, hey, you should go get a test, or you should da-da-da, to a point, doesn't actually make the massive difference, right? It's usually the smallest things you say that make the difference. It's kind of like if you're reading something they've written and go, oh, I see you've got your and your the wrong way around, and there, I've fixed that for you. If you say that to someone and they've got dyslexia in their mind, it starts to seed the next thought. Does that make sense? Kind of seeds that next part of the process. The challenge with dyslexia as well is that because it's so misunderstood, people really only relate it with the text, right? They only relate it with, reading words, sometimes tracking from a board and writing down, copying from a board, which again, we don't do a lot as adults. So to get people into the understanding of what dyslexia means more is challenging, 100%. I sometimes prep stuff with saying, you may be neurodiverse. Do you know much about it? Do you know much about neurodiversity? And then they ask questions, because the idea of neurodiversity is a bit of an easier pill to swallow. And, I then go down a path of saying, usually neurodiverse people, the ones I work with, are quite right-brained. They're the creatives, they're picture thinkers, they can visually see stuff in their mind. They find it easier to pull pieces together, but sometimes struggle to communicate it and turn those pictures into words. That usually resonates with people. Even as simple as going, if I say the phrase, if I say swimming dolphin by a beach, can you see that in your mind? And they say, oh yeah, I can picture that. You say, can you tell me a bit of detail about what you see? And they can go into some quite specific detail. Now, not everyone can do that. If you're not dyslexic or if you're not, you know, I guess the more vivid you are with that, the more likelihood of you having dyslexia is. There are some people who just can't picture that stuff easily. And if they do do it, it takes a lot of energy. It's not their natural way. So the people that quickly go, yep, I can 100% see that. It's swimming. There are waves. There's a mermaid in the background. Whatever it looks like to them doesn't really matter. But their ability to quickly draw on that visual part of their brain is definitely an insight into their visual thinking style. And that's what you're looking at. If someone goes, yeah, I'm really visual, I can see things. And we see this in architects, engineers, you know, people that have to think about what could go wrong in the future without having all the information. They're the people that, like engineers and architects, they go, that door swinging that way in a house that doesn't exist yet would be troublesome for the person putting the washing out. You know, that's where we see dyslexics do so well, is they can spatially see the stuff in their head a lot of the time. Not always, but a lot of the time, they can see this stuff. So I find that a really good way of getting a feeling for it. And again, it's about making sure you seed it in different ways, the thought of it. Is all I would say is if you become the person who goes, I think you've got dyslexia, and you say that every morning to someone, they are just going to get frustrated at you. So it's about how do you seed these ideas in, and then how do you seed people successful with it, you know, into their lives as well? You know, is it quotes from Richard Branson you find and you share, and in different ways where it doesn't feel like you're pecking on them? Because, you know, if someone's got dyslexia, diagnosed or undiagnosed, or is neurodiverse in any way, they've probably felt very singled out a lot of their life. And so naturally, they put up their defense mechanisms if they start getting pointed at or singled out. Even if you're in a really good relationship, you will potentially notice this. The other thing you can also do is, if you really believe something and you think others may think it as well, how can you get them to also seed the idea? You know, there are some things in life where, like, me and my wife are very, very open, but there are definitely parts of, you know, especially in previous relationships where there was no way I was telling my partner anything just in that respect. She just wouldn't listen to me, for example. It just wouldn't get through. But if she heard the same thing from a friend or someone at work, it sometimes would break down that barrier because there's a different relationship. So don't discount that as an opportunity as well. And again, also that, you know, one of the biggest challenges again is getting people to listen to things. Like, it's nice to say, hey, go listen to the Truth About Dyslexia podcast. I think you'll really connect with it. He says so much more than just reading, writing, and spelling about how his brain works and how he thinks. I think you sound very similar. You know, and again, that's so hard to get across to people, right? Like, because, you know, if they're not in the mode to listen. And what I find with this podcast is you'll get someone who'll download it, they'll listen to 40 of the episodes in a row, smash them all out, and then might come back 3, 4, 6 months later. You know, they might have a complete break and then come back at some other point if they see something pop up in their feed that interests them. So these are the ways our brains work. It is very, you know, it's not lineal. It's not always consistent. And so you've got to keep trying things from different angles to see what will seed in. But what I would say is don't give up hope. If you really do believe it, keep learning about it. Work out how you can seed it into their mind. Hopefully they'll listen to something. There's a great video I did on YouTube, and I recorded this in the podcast 3 or 4 days ago around the 7 hidden traits of dyslexia. You know, that's a great one to see if you can get someone to watch, because it really just opens their mind to going beyond reading, writing, and spelling, which I just think is so important to break through for people. Because if they can't break through that barrier, yeah, they're very unlikely to be open to the dyslexia kind of thing, because they won't understand it. It's just so poorly understood. So that's what I wanted to share today, guys. Hope that's added a little value if you're trying to reach out to someone. And again, if you're on Spotify, you can leave a comment, and I do read them. So have an epic rest of your day, guys.